Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. My friends, you know, the busier I get with preparing for this move, the more I'm going to have to switch in between doing audio-only shows when I'm on the road, in between going from here to there and just being at the house. But, you know, my friends, I really felt convicted to do this show today, right in here and right now, and not to have to put this off in any way. And so I wanted to really discuss the idea of why women push monogamy on men. You might think this comes out of nowhere, but, you know, my friends, I was driving to go to my chiropractor because as a taller guy, I actually suffer, you know, a little bit from time to time with some back pain. So I thought I'd get ahead of the curve because as I get older, it's only going to get worse, right? So on my way there, I'm driving and I thought to myself, you know, I just gotten breakfast. I'm looking by and I'm seeing women walking their dogs. I'm seeing older couples, middle-aged couples, even a lot of younger couples, like, you know, 20s and really early 30s, walking around with their babies or just walking around talking, you know, looking like they're all happy, right? And it really dawned on me, my friends. I thought to myself, wait a minute. Why is it that people push forward this fantasy? You look at like the Housewives of Beverly Hills show, the Housewives of Atlanta City, whatever. You look at all these shows, right? And everybody's happy. Everybody's happy but you, right? Everybody's got it good. Nobody's miserable. Nobody's unhappy. There might be a little drama here or there, but it can't be that bad, right? Because everybody seems so happy. But I'm not. So there must be something wrong with me. Well, there's nothing wrong with you. In fact, you are the norm. But because there's so much money to be made in feeding people a fantasy, you would think that you're the only one who's alone, who's unhappy, who's going through sufferings of life. And, you know, my friends, one of my favorite Buddhist teachings that I think they have it 100% right is that you and I and everybody else in this world is on what I had explained to me as a wheel of suffering. And the moment you accept the fact that you are put in this world to suffer, you'll suffer less. You might ask me, well, Austin, what does this have to do with women, monogamy, men having it pushed on them? Well, it's a very good question. And the answer is fairly simple. Because it's a fantasy. You see, gentlemen, you and I, we've been lied to. I might not come as a revelation to you, but we've been lied to in the idea that we want to be good men, because good men are what you should strive to be. You shouldn't strive to be a strong man. You shouldn't strive to be a guy who blazes his own trail, because that's what other men respect, incidentally. You don't know this because people don't tell this to you. You often have to figure it out the hard way. People don't tell you, hey, you respect guys who blaze their own trail, who tell everybody else that they're going to do what they want to do. And so when it comes to men telling women, hey, I'm not going to just take leftovers. I'm not going to take back an ex who treated me like crap or treated me like an option. It's easy for us to go down the rabbit hole of, well, you know, I don't want to die alone. I don't want to be, you know, I can't stand the silence anymore, or I'm just going through a phase, because life is full of phases, my friends. We all have phases in our lives, whether it's our early teens to our late 20s to our 30s. I've seen other people go through phases that are beyond my 20s. I'm still in my 20s. I'm not going to pretend like I know what it's like to be 30, 40, 50 and beyond. I don't. I know it intellectually. I've seen it, but I don't fully know it from my own experience, but in time, I am very confident that I will, because it's unavoidable. But when we get to the idea of men working their absolute behinds off, working and eating their heart out, to only settle for subpar women, subpar vagina, and to sit back, and not only are we supposed to take it, but we're supposed to be thankful for it? We're supposed to thank them for giving us mediocrity when we gave them everything? I don't think so. No, my friends, I don't think so, because we're surrounded by fantasies, right? So it's no wonder that we would accept another one, especially one that not only wraps up the mind north of the equator, but also one south of the equator as well. Too many men, especially guys my age that are in their, mid-20s, they have nothing better to do than just indulge the lower head, the one south of the equator. They think that their end-all be-all is their schmendrick and how well it strokes. Pause, phrasing. Well, you know what I think older guys who listen to the older guys, by anybody older than me, could tell you, who listen to the show, that's usually how the worst decisions are made in your life. Are the ones you make thinking with your dingling and not your brain. And so when we get to this conversation of men having their libido controlled by women, by the government, by society, trying to police your Johnson, it's no wonder that women are more than happy to go along with the program, because they get a monopoly over you. Gentlemen, there are monopolies, whether it's board games, whether it's a board game, whether it's giant tech companies. Monopolies are nothing new to those who know about economics. And the U.S. government, especially during the Teddy Roosevelt administration in a bygone era in this country, had a platform called Bust the Trust. And their whole thing was, we don't want competition to be eliminated. We don't want people to own the company that owns the market. We want there to be multiple companies in the market. We don't want somebody to actually own the market, because then they get to set the prices, and they get to set both the supply and the demand. They get to manipulate the entire market. The government saw that for the problem it would possess, because at some point, the government needs money. And so when the people who own the monopolies in the country have all the money, the government becomes reliant upon those individuals or upon those corporations. And so they were wise, the founding fathers. I don't believe them to be people who were like God level status. They were wise, but they weren't all knowing. Them and their predecessors, who saw the fact that you look at examples in history like the East India Trading Company and how they owned the trading lines, they owned monopolies over very important and necessary resources, it led to there being no competition. Competition didn't exist because they'd buy out or destroy any competitors that would pop up. In the same way that a lot of modern day tech companies, in my estimation, they do the same exact thing. They do the same thing. That's why you don't see a lot of competition for Google. You don't see a lot of competition for Facebook and Instagram. You don't see a lot of competition for streaming platforms, because they own everything. They've got it all under control. That's why you don't see it. In the same way, why is it acceptable then for a woman to own a monopoly over your Johnson? Yeah, you were in me right. If we don't want a monopoly over my bagels, if I don't want monopolies over my gasoline, if I don't want monopolies over what tech I'm using, then why should there be a monopoly over my Johnson? Why should that be allowed? Answer, because it makes life easier for the people in power, because they get to domesticate you in plain English. Women are more than happy to go with the program, because then they don't have to compete. You ever notice that guys at the top of the totem pole, whether it's economically, physically, socially, spiritually, these dudes have women chasing them, and so the women act differently with men like that than they do with guys like us who are not at the top. We're not at the bottom, but we're not at the top either. We're more towards the middle. Even if we're at the top, and the top, 10%, 5%, there are even echelons and tiers within the top 1%. And so here's the problem, guys. Why do we accept the fact that they get to have a monopoly over us and our pleasure, our sexual satisfaction, when we wouldn't allow the same thing to be said for our wallet or our pocketbook? Why is that? Answer, because a lot of men don't even ask the question. They just accept that all this is the way it always is. This is the way it's supposed to be. They don't ask that question because the question itself is deemed as dangerous. It is deemed as, oh, you are a dirty man with a dirty Johnson. How dare you want multiple women when women are out here wanting multiple men? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't fool yourself for 2 seconds. Oh, what? Just because she told you that, oh, I only want you. Anytime a woman ever says that, add right now to the end of that sentence, and then you're a little bit closer to the actual truth. Gentlemen, I'm not telling you this to resent women or to be mad at women, because that changes nothing. You can be mad at the tech companies that own most of the market. Does that change the fact they own most of the market? No. So what's the point in getting mad about it? There's no point. What we need to do is we need to ask these questions of why do we allow our Johnsons to be policed by the public, number one. And number two, why is it that we would allow women to be our only source of sex and to satisfy us in one of the most natural ways besides sleeping and eating and defecating? But we wouldn't allow people to control what we eat and where we get our food from, where we get our gasoline or electricity from. Why is it we would allow this, but not that? Why is it that women push monogamy on men? Well, it's simple. We've already kind of answered the question. Because it allows them to put in minimal effort for maximum return on their investment, in plain English. There was a time in history when this was not the case. When it was pretty normal for a man to have a legal wife, but then he had concubines, he had mistresses, he had women down at the jerk shack. He had this stuff, and it was open to him, especially the higher up in society you went. But here's the question, guys. Why is it that we allow certain things to be accepted, and we other things we question? Why are you afraid to question this? I know I was for a long time. Because it was just something I accepted as, oh, well, this is just part of the game. But once you realize that women don't want just one man, you then start to ask yourself, well, why should I just have one woman then? And when you ask that question, you need to be prepared to suffer a lot of emotional arguments being flung your way. You need to prepare your instill yourself for no logic and all emotions and all ethos, which means people who have letters behind their names, people who are so-called dating coaches and experts, and they're divorced and have broken homes, usually by their own doing. You need to be aware of those people, the psychiatrists, the government officials, and then all those people who have letters and numbers and everything behind their names for the ethos. And then for the pathos, the pathetic argument of all emotions, they're immediately going to make it about you and how you're wrong for even asking a question. My friends, let me tell you something right now. You are never and will never be wrong for asking a question. Anybody who tries to stop you from asking a question is a mental prisoner, a mental fascist of the highest order who is trying to control you, not trying to make you understand why things work the way they work. Because most of the time, they don't know. They don't know. All they know is their worldview is being challenged and they feel personally attacked. So they're going to retaliate. That's all they know. They don't know why they believe it. They don't know how it got there. They don't know why it stays there, but they know it's there. And they think it's their idea when in fact, it's not their idea. They've never had an idea about this. It's only what they've been told, whether it's by a pastor, by a government, by example, by social standards. That's all they know. And my friends, we need to ask this question and we need to keep pushing this forward. I'm not telling you you need to be like a Muslim and have 4 wives. I'm not telling you. It's not even legal in America as far as I know to do that. What I'm telling you is you need to ask these questions. And this is what being a biblical bachelor is. You ask hard questions. You find the answer for yourself. And you move forward. You don't just sit there and accept what people tell you, even if they claim to use the Bible to say it, or they claim to use wisdom to say it. No. I am sick and tired of people using God's name as a branding image, I'm sick and tired of using God's name as a grifting tool. I'm sick of it. And I know a lot of you are sick of it. You love this show because you realize that we need to ask these questions. You need to ask hard questions that are not going to be easy to answer. They're not going to be easy to figure out. But once you have it figured out for yourself and the life you want to build, once you've decided what way you want to go, what you want to believe and why, then you can move forward. And not only can you move forward, but when somebody challenges you on why you believe something, you can actually answer the question and not be like the very people that you actively were trying not to become, which is another bot. And I'm not a huge gamer, but when I play games with my friends, there's this term called a bot, which is a person who's completely like, they don't know what they're doing. They're kind of like they might as well be an AI robot. They're so bad. And this can be applied to people in real life. People who don't question norms. They don't understand why the world operates the way it does. And they're not interested. Because to them, the very idea of defiance is an act of rebellion. And they're fine with being rebellious on issues that other people tell them to be rebellious of, that other people tell them to question, or that other people question, and then they go with the program. But they don't want to question something that they themselves have come up against. They don't know the answer. They don't understand why the answer, even if they know the answer, they don't understand why it's there. And they want to figure out more. They want to indulge. They want to figure out, okay, why is this the case? How did this get here? Should I keep it here? Or should I maybe do something else with it? That's what it's all about. See, this is dangerous. This is called thinking for yourself. This is called viewing your own research, being a scientist by training. Scientists will develop a hypothesis. They'll test that hypothesis. And if it's wrong, they'll drop a new one. Or if it's right, they'll go on to the next experiment. You have to do the same thing in your life with everything you believe. Otherwise, other people are pulling your strings and you don't even know that there are strings to be pulled. This is what the red pill is. Not just about chicks. Not just about money. Red pill comes from the Matrix for truth. The truth will set you free, but you need to be willing to pursue it. Willing to say, I don't know it and I want to, and I'm willing to trade the fantasies I've been fed for this truth that I want to obtain. This is what we must do if we are to be winners in this life. If we are to be people worthy of respect that is earned. I don't respect people who can't give me an answer. Even if I don't like the answer, I can respect the answer. But if you don't even know the answer, you don't know why you believe what you believe, but you just believe it, you are a robot. You are another useful idiot that Vladimir Lenin wrote about in the Soviet Union in the early days. The people who went with the program, they did not resist the change. They did not try to cultivate any change either. They just didn't resist what other people forced it on them. They did not resist the subtle shifting of the world around them. They did not have anything better to do than to go to the ball game, go to the local grocery store, and care about the pebble in their shoe, and not the boulder that was hurtling towards them that they didn't even know was there. My friends, I think I'll end it there. I could keep going for another hour, and I might do another show today. I've been feeling a lot more inspired recently. Because to me, my friends, the truth sets me free. Doing these types of shows sets me free, even though I don't always have time to go to my camera and drop an official show. To me, these are more little pearls of wisdom derived from the pain within my soul. And so hopefully you appreciate them, and hopefully you can add to the discussion and you're not afraid to ask hard questions. My friends, take care of yourselves. Let me know what you have to say if you want to add or subtract anything. In the meantime, I look forward to seeing you next time. I'm out. Peace.